harping on wars we fight, griping about the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down with life, I'm fighting and falling down deep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my countryman, you're walking on the fight beside me. Just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in a fog of doubt. If you don't love it, leave it. This song I'm singing, be warned. You run down my countryman, you walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down with life, I'm fighting. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you run down my country, man, you walking on right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the center of fighting side of me, and that's the name of this program here on lightresistanceradio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Here's an interesting piece of information sent my way by my good friend, Dr. James Sears, one of Canada's free speech martyrs, and says a couple of weeks ago, the new right-wing government in Greece shut down the largest Antifa enclave in Europe, and now it's going all out. These Antifa radicals set a Christmas tree on fire twice, which caused Greek Christians to to finally lose their tempers, and rightly so. Now, this item is on its way up here, and it's from the website cafemarini.com, and I'll be giving that to you in just a second here as it comes up on the screen. Greek PM pledges zero tolerance for crime as police unveil reinforcements. And this is Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis on Monday pledged zero tolerance for crime as he criticized the former leftist-led government's record on safeguarding the rule of law. The Greek police, or ELOS, on Monday announced the hiring of 1,500 officers for its DIOS, or motorcycle division, in line with a pledge made by Mitsotakis. Shortly after he came to power in the summer, the force will be reinforced with 450 vehicles, including motorbikes, 3,000 bulletproof jackets, 500 radios, and other equipment. Elos said, speaking during a presentation at the Marco Polo Training Center east of Athens, the conservative prime minister called upon the newly hired officers to show zero tolerance toward crime. You must also show zero tolerance for disruptive behavior. You have nothing to be afraid of, said Mitsotakis, adding that the force will soon be equipped with body cameras and drones in order to improve transparency and accountability. Convenient rumor mongering against the police will stop. At the same time, we will be able to evaluate police operations and detect any improper behavior, he said. Democracy knows how to protect, but it must also protect itself. Mitsotakis said precious time had gone to waste as the Kyriza, that's the previous leftist administration, which was seated in the July elections, was too reluctant to clamp down on rampant lawlessness. The police were for years not allowed to fulfill their duties, he added. And Dr. Sears believes that, among other things, this is going to lead to a real crackdown on the radical Antifa, who have in the past caused a great deal of trouble. Now, I can't say she's one of my favorite, but okay. Greta Thunberg became, at age 16, the youngest person of the year for Time Magazine. And so she was voted Time Magazine's person of the year, or she was, I mean, Time Magazine accorded her that recognition. And this was sent on to me, it comes from the Daily Storm, and it emphasizes just how screwed up this girl is. Greta Thunberg says she gets energy when people go vegan, but she went months without talking or eating. Now, that I'd heard that before. In addition to having Asperger's syndrome, she also has this another syndrome or whatever, where when she's under stress, she, in a sense, curls up in a ball and doesn't talk or eat. Now, the problem I have with that is this. I mean, like, does that mean literally not eat? Apparently she went like that for a month. Now, you don't do that and emerge whole and healthy the other side. Or did it mean she doesn't eat very much? Or does it mean she drinks nutrition of some sort? Well, don't know. So you have to take all of this with a big lump of salt. Greta Thunberg's father has revealed that his daughter was a depressed mess that was already skipping school before thinking of using the climate as an excuse to skip school. This is from the Daily Stormer. The Daily Mail reported, Greta Thunberg today said she would refuse to meet Donald Trump face-to-face for a climate change summit because it would be a waste of time, as her father revealed he feared depression would kill her before she launched her worldwide campaign. Now, and the girl is messed up. Now, I have huge problems with adults sitting at the feet of this silly girl and paying any attention to anything she says. The 16-year-old Swede launched an attack on the U.S. president as she guest edited the BBC's flagship news radio show today and said, he's obviously not listening to scientists and experts, so why would he listen to me? Well, that is a good question. Or, in fact, he is listening to scientists and experts who are saying this global warming hysteria is basically a hoax. Oh, that's right. Climate change. Climate is not changing. That's right. It's not changing. It's not global warming. Climate is always changing, and you know, the alleged science, which is of course is now being discredited, only a couple of years ago was saying carbon emissions are carbon dioxide in the air is leading to global warming, and the Earth is going to basically get so hot that a lot of the polar ice caps are going to melt, and the sea levels will go up, and the world will be coming to an end. The problem was that after we were told this repeatedly, it turned out that wasn't true. The Earth isn't warming up. The polar ice cap, which according to that great prophet of global warming, former Vice President Al Gore, was going to have entirely melted away by 2013, has not melted away. 7 years later, it's still there. Now, this was the science that we were supposed to listen to, and it turned out that it was basically all a hoax. Now, then they retreated to climate change. Well, now climate change is a little different. Climate change would be, I suppose, a pattern of significant difference over several years. I mean, unless, put it a little differently, if the climate is in any way different this year than it was last year in any given area, is that climate change or is that just a climate difference? But you can't lose on climate change because, to some extent, the climate is always changing, or should we say, seems to go in cycles. A period of considerable dryness in much of North America has happened during the dirty 30s of the Great Depression. Did that mean that North America would get less and less and less and less rain, and eventually most of it would be impossible for agriculture? Well, no. The climate then changed again. So if carbon emissions were the cause of global warming, then how do you explain the fact that the world does not seem to be warming up? Well, the original connection was all correct. It was incorrect. Anyway, back to Greta Thunberg. She said she wouldn't go have a meeting with Donald Trump because he doesn't listen to scientists. So why should he listen to her? Well, he shouldn't listen to her because she's talking nonsense. Ms. Thunberg's Echo Heavy Today program featured an interview with Sir David Attenborough, who praised the teenager and said she had woken up the world to climate change and achieved more in a year than he had in decades. He said, "You have made an argument people can't dodge. People of my generation should be very grateful to you." Well, he's condescending and is giving her praise she really doesn't deserve. And her father's savant today revealed he thought it was a bad idea for a 16-year-old daughter to join the front line against climate change, but said she said it had saved her after she stopped eating and talking during a long bout of depression. When asked if he was proud of his daughter, he said, "Not at all. I don't care about pride. She's happy. I'm proud that I've contributed just a tiny bit. By listening to her, I'm pleased that we chose to listen to her." The parents are equal screwballs. Mr. Thunberg also revealed that in around 2016, that would be 3 years ago, which was 13, Greta was suffering with a crippling depression and stopped talking and eating for 3 months while refusing to go to school. Refusing to go to school at age 13? That's where I think a good paddling from daddy might have done some good. She doesn't have the right to refuse to go to school. Mr. Thunberg said that he and Greta's mother, Malena, an opera singer and former Eurovision contestant, had stopped work during their daughter's depression, calling it the ultimate nightmare for a parent. But he said her climate change battle had saved her, adding Greta finds any personal criticism hilarious. He said, "I don't know how she does it, but she laughs." she's an idiot. Or with the arrogance of youth, I'm right and the whole world's wrong. And you know, there's a fine line between very commendable self-confidence and just plain arrogance. Greta was already skipping school in silence before she started talking about the climate. Then she continued to skip school but started talking about the climate. The constant in those two situations is her skipping school. Not an interest to save the planet, remarks the Daily Stormer. Is this all an elaborate ruse to continue to skip school that got out of hand? Is that why she recently asked the media to stop focusing on her? Describing how he and his wife handled her campaign, the Swede said, quote, "We said we would not support it. If you're going to do this, you're going to have to do it by yourself." Greta then started a school strike. So she went to school just to start a strike outside the Swedish parliament in August 2018, which has since spread all over the world to involve more than 100,000 school children. And for many people, it's just a good excuse, and often with the approval of their principals, to have a day off. Hold on. Their daughter wasn't talking or eating for months before her first school strike. They knew she was battling serious depression, and when she tells them about something she wants to do, their response is, laughing out loud, okay, but you're on your own. And this is what I like about the Daily Stormer. It analyzes the news story as reported in the Times, and it says, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. With parents like that, no wonder she was a depressed mess. She arrived in New York in August after a 15-day, 3,000-mile voyage across the Atlantic to take part in a UN climate summit, having sailed from Plymouth, England. She then set sail in November from the U.S. to a UN climate summit in Madrid, Spain, because she refuses to fly. Her father has taken part in some of these events, but denies he's an environmental activist himself. He said, "I did all these things. I knew they were the right thing to do, but I didn't do it to save the climate. I did it to save my child. I have two daughters, and to be honest, they are all that matters to me. I just want them to be happy." So he did end up supporting her after he told her he would not support her. Was he trying to gaslight her or something? Or maybe Greta used her powers to persuade him? And the Daily Stormer asks humorously, is she some sort of a witch? Before considering that the very, very real possibility of Greta being some kind of ancient vampire demon creature, check out this picture of her family below. And, there's a dog that looks rather normal. The rest of the family looks really screwball. That's her sister on the left. What stands out in the picture above, though, is that their hair is all messed up. That is the father with hair down below his shoulders. The mother, they all look as though they're in desperate need of a comb and somebody to show them how to part their hair properly. It explains why Greta can't even fix her hair to appear on camera. It runs in the family. Continuing the article from the Times, he said Greta thought her parents were huge hypocrites because they were active advocates for refugees, knowing that his daughter would ask, "Whose human rights are you standing up?" Rob Ford, given that they were not taking the climate issue seriously. Ms. Thunberg said his wife stopped flying and had to change her whole career. He added, "To be honest, she didn't do it to save the climate. She did it to save her child because she saw how much it meant to her. And then when she did that, she saw how much she grew from that, how much energy she got from it." He said he became vegan, and Greta got more energy from this. In other words, she likes bossing people around. At some point, a healthy parent has to assert himself or herself. The Daily Stormer asks, is Greta some kind of vampiric creature? Is she somehow sustaining her form and gaining power through the contagion of climate change delusion among kids and teenagers? Is she somehow harvesting the life force that the vegan diet takes away from people? what kind of monster are we really dealing with? They've got some pictures of her with that famous screwed up face. They go, how dare you? And her eyes are all wrinkled up. And you know, the kid is messed up. I suppose we should really feel sorry for her. Here's a story I heard over the news today, the radio news today, and as usual, the chattering classes were in great upset. And this is from the St. Catharines Standard. The St. Catharines is just down. St. Catharines is a small city of about 130,000 between me and Hamilton and Niagara Falls on the border. There's a caption of a blonde lady in a black jersey, I guess. It says she's been charged following a racist rant at the Niagara-on-the-Lake Mall parking lot on Boxing Day, which was caught on video. Because there's the editorial, racist rant. Well, it would be much more helpful if he actually told us what she said. A widely shared video of a woman using racist taunts to berate another woman who's Chinese in a Niagara-on-the-Lake parking lot has led to the arrest of a Hamilton resident. The incident happened on Boxing Day at the Outlet Collection at Niagara Mall on Taylor Road. On Monday, Niagara Regional Police said they've charged, and that's today, Patricia Zammit, 51, with assault and uttering threats. The incident was apparently sparked by a dispute over parking space. And you know, these malls, especially on Boxing Day, are a complete mess. People race to these malls, jam these malls, and sometimes you have to go around and around and around and around, perhaps watching for somebody loaded down with packages and try to trail them to their car so maybe you can get that person's space when they move away. That's one reason I wouldn't go to a mall on Boxing Day. I just don't do lineups, or at least I do as much as I can to avoid them. So I understand the white lady's frustration. A Chinese woman shot the one-minute video and posted it to Facebook. It begins with a middle-aged woman berating her, including calling her a fucking chink. Instead of stopping, she mocks the woman, singing la 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 at her and showing her a middle finger, which, as you know, is a... At one point, she approaches the woman and appears to punch at her cell phone. She appears to threaten the woman again, turning her back and lifting her coat as if to moon the woman. Whatever sparked the incident is not shown in the video, nor was the victim identified. Well, a mall spokeswoman told the St. Catharines Standard the woman who recorded the incident went to guest services before mall security staff took over and contacted police. Samet will appear in court on February the 3rd. Now, I'm going to look at another report on this. The salient details are a little light, and I don't think we really have any other information on this. Now, this would seem to be typical of policing these days. The chattering heads on the radio station I was listening to this afternoon, where I got this story, were all up in arms and how in this day and age, could somebody say these things, calling her a chink and being very I believe also saying there are directional signals in China. Why don't you use them? Now, Orientals, especially Chinese, are notoriously bad drivers. I've even had Chinese admit to me, we're just not the world's best drivers. And there could be a number of reasons for that. One reason that I have found is in their technique. Chinese don't necessarily drive exceedingly fast, but they don't read the road. They seem to focus single-mindedly on the license plate of the car ahead of them, and that's not good enough. You know, if you're going to if you're going to effectively drive a car, you've got to be aware of the whole road, which means you have to be able to watch the be aware of the entire road, both sides, in front and behind. And I'm going to see if we can get a bit of, I mean, I like original sources. Well, this is a different story. Using a few choice words should not be enough to get you to get you arrested. Now, it says she's charged with uttering threats and with assault. Now, it would appear that the assault may have been her attempt to swipe at the camera or the cell phone, which was being used as a camera, of the woman, of the Chinese woman. The uttering threats, well, we're not told exactly what constituted that. I have a feeling that what the police did was that they charged her. That means it sweeps the case off their book. And she'll be in court on the early in February, February the 5th. That'll be a first appearance. The charges will be read and she'll be asked to plead. She'll be remanded to a further date, so the trial is well in the future. There's a little more detail in this report. The victim, who does not want to be identified for fear of retaliation. I love that. That is so typical of New World Order, globalist Canada. You know, you make an accusation, well, stand behind it. Would she be retaliation? What are you talking about, retaliation? She said she pulled into a spot at the mall and was immediately approached by a woman who claimed she'd been waiting for the parking spot. The victim told, the Chinese woman told CHCH, that's the Hamilton TV channel, that she pulled out of her phone and started recording because the woman threatened to scratch her car. I'll be interested to see, I mean, if indeed she threatened to scratch her car, does that actually constitute uttering threats? It'll be interesting to see if that it actually does hold up. It sounds to me like a lot more of this overkill. Something called Name and Shame, this racist put by Rob Gill, puts up the footage, which has gone viral. I'm just trying to play it to see if it helps us any, and to turn.
If you fucking do that, you fucking cheat. Oh, wait, I love you too. You fucking bitch, get out of here, man. Okay? You started it!
Guys, no!
She started it! She goes, I don't know what a signal is. You don't know what a signal is? Guess what? Even in China, they have signal lights. Yeah, you kick me? You kick me, I'll take those fucking glasses off your face and shove them through your... That's what you do when you have a signal. You see a signal? You see a signal? It's called, you use it. You can take me out of here. Take me all you want. Get my phone. I've got to call 911. And I'm going to tell them that she kicked me. Here we go. She kicked me. I'm calling 911.
Okay. So she said, you don't know what a signal is. Even in China, they have signal lights. So the woman, the blonde woman, is saying basically that she had signaled or found the place first, and the other woman sneaked into it and ignored her signal. She may have every right to be angry. She claims, although that the Chinese woman kicked her. It's safe to say racism played a role in this instance, said Consulate Phil Gavin to the CBC News. We don't know the details of what happened before the video, but I can't imagine any circumstances where it'd be okay to speak to someone like that, said mall marketing manager Carly Rupchich to the St. Catherine Standard. And corporations are every bit as disgusting in their efforts to impose political correctness as others are. They're no friends of freedom of speech. Now, this woman is clearly upset. She does not speak in a very ladylike manner. Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. She may well have every reason, though, to be upset. What disturbs me is that this quickly, with wild virtue signaling and people putting this video up so that eventually I'm sure somebody identified who she was and the police have helpfully arrested her. I don't think this woman deserves to be charged or put through the humiliation and the time and the cost, undoubtedly, of a court case. She doesn't. I hope she pleads innocent, and I hope she stands her ground. And, you know, what is happening here is that after years and years and years of suppression, many people are losing it. I'll tell you why they're losing it. You know, we have been, since 1965, the subject of an organized immigration invasion and population change. The European founding settler people of Canada and the United States are being replaced by policy. And I don't primarily blame the immigrants. They take advantage of what's being offered to them. You can't blame somebody for, taking advantage. You can't. they're simply taking advantage of the goodies that are being presented to them. So I think sometimes the anger is perhaps misdirected. But having said that, a lot of people know this country is being changed. This woman and me and the rest of the Canadians, we were never asked if we wanted to have our population changed and ourselves gradually, no longer is it gradually, but swiftly being shoved into minority status. We've never asked for that. Our country is being changed out from under us without our consent. We're told as by some sort of religious article of faith that diversity is our greatest strength. But we know that much of this diversity is just plain offensive and poisonous. And people lose it at times. The normal politeness that would characterize most interactions is sometimes hard to maintain. I'll tell you why. it is hard to remain polite and happy when you know people come from cultures where they simply don't follow our norms. Now, you know, I know there are Canadians who don't signal or don't pay attention to signals, but I can see how this woman would be particularly provoked. And, you know, while we might not approve of her, in a sense, losing it, I think you can really understand how this happened. This is an article written by Brian Wiggins, the coming second Civil War in America, and this is the first part of it. In Charlottesville, what was Harper's Ferry, America is heading for another Fort Sumter and a second Civil War. In fact, this war has already begun. The election to Congress from the 14th District of New York of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez achieved an upset to establish Democratic power player Representative Joe Crowley, a Democrat, of course, in the district's primary last year. She was running on a platform that promises to abolish all immigration and border enforcement. Ocasio-Cortez is calling on left-wing and open borders activists to occupy all United States airports, all border all borders in the U.S. and at every office of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement or ICE agency. Her new Green Deal would shut down all hydrocarbons and turn the country into a huge Hutterite colony with an economy perhaps roughly that of Zimbabwe's. The man she defeated, Joe Crowley, his status as the fourth-ranking Democrat in the House did not save him. Journalists noted that Crowley was just too white for his district, which is now 50% Latino and Puerto Rican, and only 22% white. Ocasio-Cortez is increasingly shaping the Democratic Party's open borders platform, along with a Green New Deal and 70% tax rates. It's no party for old white men. And this is one of the reasons I think we're going to see a big upset in the upcoming presidential elections in 2020. Ocasio-Cortez affirmed this racial claim by posting that women of color, quote, want to unseat these white male incumbents. And she did that on a Twitter account. Her mother is a Puerto Rican, and she won by selling herself as a fellow Latino, or Latina, I guess, who would promote immigration and aid for Puerto Rico. There are echoes of this in Canada. Liberal candidate Karen Wan in Burnaby South, a riding that is 40% Chinese, said in a Mandarin language newspaper that she was, quote, the only candidate of Chinese descent and that her opponent was Indian. Now, this was actually during the by-election, a few months before the federal election. That was what the left calls a dog whistle. This is just the tip of the iceberg. You can expect a lot more whistling in the coming few years as the totalitarians in Peking and the NCCM continue to tighten their grip on their diaspora. White people must begin to organize explicitly for their own legitimate interests. Ocasio-Cortez's platform reads like a Marxist wish list, similar to our own Jagmeet Singh's NDP, free Medicare, a carbon-free electrical grid, federal job guarantees, free tuition for all, and student debt cancellation. That's a big number, by the way. Americans owe over $1.48 trillion, that's with a T, in student loan debt, spread out among about 44 million hopeless borrowers. That's $620 billion more than the total U.S. credit card debt. Their futures are being forfeited by pathological income and job crushing, mass immigration. Ocasio-Cortez compares electing Democrats to ending slavery and believes that all illegal aliens deserve a rite of passage to freely enter the United States. They are in a fight. Make no mistake about it. This basically would be the immigration, the end of American border sovereignty. The 24-year-old Latinx believes that the U.S. is committing international human rights abuses at the U.S.-Mexico border because President Trump's zero-tolerance policy. She's declared her support for a Marshall Plan to rebuild hurricane-wracked Puerto Rico, referring to the U.S. territory as an invaded colony. She thinks that because we are standing on native land and Latino people are descendants of native people, that Hispanics should be exempt from immigration laws on racial grounds. Her loyalty lies with anything and everything non-white. Puerto Rico provides a useful test case of open borders ideology, because about 3/5 of all Puerto Ricans on Earth now live in the 50 states. The Puerto Rican example suggests that third worlders would stop coming to America only after their standard of living descends to third world levels. Democratic strategists are hoping that an exodus from Puerto Rico, exacerbated by more hurricanes, will deliver Florida's 29 electoral votes in 2020. America has now become, like Canada, a colony of the world. Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez says that the Democratic Socialist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the future of our party. Forget Make America Great Again, America Great Again. If Ocasio-Cortez is the future, and she is, she'll make America Venezuela. And perhaps many people may not be quite so keen on it. I'm going to come back to that. Tomorrow I'm going to play, and I guess this may be the last time, because this is just before New Year's, but I'm going to play from the wonderful Christmas CD by Julie Keach Harris, who's a beautiful lady in Nashville, Tennessee, country and western singer. I've heard her a number of times at a honky-tonk in Music City called JR's, and this is from her CD, Christmas Dream. Now this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on LightResistanceRadio.com.
Jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle. dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air, what a bright time, it's a right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time is a swell time to go gliding in a one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet, jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling feet.
Jingle bell swing and jingle bells ring, snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime in jingle bell time, dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square in the frosty air.
Tonight.
my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations for that Tiffany. Oh, I really do believe in you. Well, let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry tonight.
Julie Keach Harris, this is Paul From, and from Canada, Don Murdoch, a Canadian country and western singer. He did this a couple years ago. It may be a holiday to you, but it's Christmas to me. I think that's the right spirit. I've been urging everybody to wish Merry Christmas to everybody this year, and I know you all have. And I'm just going to try to get this up and play it one more time. I don't know why we have these little problems. This is called "It May Be a Holiday to You, But It's Christmas to Me," and hope we can get this playing for you. Sometimes these this computer is really slow tonight. Hopefully we can get this to play before the show's over. We'll try one more time here. I hope you'll enjoy this. This connection is extremely slow. I think we now have it here. It's by Don Murdoch. It may be a holiday to you, but it's Christmas to me.
It might be a holiday to you, but it's Christmas to me. I'm filled with tradition, love and family. Put it on display each year for all the world to see. It might be a holiday to you, but it's Christmas to me. I remember as a child, every Christmas Eve, we'd sing our favorite carols as we decorate the tree. Mom would tell us stories, we'd bow our heads and pray. Jesus, our Savior, was born that holy day. We'd pray for peace in the world so all can enjoy the true meaning of Christmas, the birth of a baby boy. It might be a holiday to you, but it's Christmas to me. I'm filled with tradition, love and family. Put it on display each year for all the world to see. It might be a holiday to you, but it's Christmas to me. Politicians try to tell us, take Christ out of the day, to hide all the symbols we used to celebrate. They say it might offend those who don't believe. Let me tell you, mister, now you're offending me. It might be a holiday to you, but it's Christmas to me. I'm filled with tradition, love and family. I put it on display each year for all the world to see. It might be a holiday to you, but it's Christmas to me. Why must everything be politically correct? All we need to do is treat each other with some respect. It might be a holiday to you, but it's Christmas to me. I'm filled with tradition, love and family. I put it on display each year for all the world to see. It might be a holiday to you, but it's Christmas to me. It might be a holiday to you, but it's Christmas, Christmas to me. Merry Christmas, everybody.